There you go. So if you look back, just a few more notes on the reasons for, the basis for the what they were trying to accomplish by building the Migdal. Oh, it's a good thing you made it. This is on the syllabus. Uh-huh. So Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. So the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim is written by forgetting the name. He was a Moshe. He lives in the 1700s. He is the Rebbe of the Chida. Actually, he grew up in Italy. Made his way over eventually to Yerushalayim. He's buried in Yerushalayim. You can see his kever today. HaSefer Kadosh Or HaChaim Rabbeinu Chaim Ben Atter, who was a Rav in Yerushalayim. There's an Or HaChaim Shul in Yerushalayim today, which I don't know if it's his original shul, but at least named after his rabbis that took place there. So the Or HaChaim writes, Vayhi kol aris shafa achas, so yesha teis lev latur b'inyan dor haflaga, mahaya daitam b'vnosa ir ha-migdal, she'im taimam hu b'frat miprati ha-kfira, lo noda ofen ha-kfir. He says, what were they trying, what were they thinking? Right? If the whole thing is based on Avodah Zarah, which we learned that is the way that we learn it in early childhood, that it's all based, it's all about Avodah Zarah. So what exactly was their kfir? What, where do you see the Avodah Zarah here? Right? That's why the Midrashim stick in that there was an idol on the top, things like that. Rabbi Uri alluded to me, and then I noticed it a little bit, although I didn't get into it very much. If you notice, in Eivishitz has the whole idea that this wasn't a Migdal, rather it was like a rocket ship. It was going to be a rocket ship that was going to have fuel, that was going to burst into the heavens and destroy God. It was going to be a nuclear-tipped missile. Ballistic missile. Intergalactical ballistic missile. Which is pretty incredible, being the fact that Rav Yonas and Eivishitz lived before time, that anybody had a Havamina, that there would be something like combustible engines, right? But that was his idea. I saw it alluded to, I saw somebody posted a blog post about it, maybe I'll get back to reading it when this year is over. But anyways.
Well, no, it's nothing new in the world.
Right.
Right.
Right, so he says, if it's kfir, what was the kfira? Gam lo haya Hashem maspiklin la'anshim b'hafitz osam levad. He says, and also, if it really was about kfira, so why? How does the punishment fit the crime? How does spreading them out? How does that resolve the kfira issue? V'od tzarech l'das amru lo yivatzer mehem ki chas v'sholom kimat yavo hator litos l'zeh. He also says that we won't take this away from them. Because what have they done wrong? V'od mahi kavanas hakasur shakasur lanu inya binyan ha'ir befratim ha'megunim v'alo amru rabu seinu zal ki miratzon Hashem hayash yis'ask v'vinyan olam. He says, and what was the problem with them building? Hashem wants them to be involved with the building of the world. So v'efshar ki liyos, so it's possible for it to be shekasher barak harash baruch hu olamo baru she'yesh shlish yishuv v'shlish midbar v'shlish midbar, that he anticipated that the world was going to be a third settled, that's the word, Ushlish Midbar, and one third of it was going to be a desert. And a third of it was going to be oceans and rivers. So this is actually, those of you that are using the red chumashim, you see there's a little footnote there. It sends you to the Likutei Ha'arus al Or HaChaim. Right, where'd that come from? So apparently Rashi quotes it on his Perish to Yeshaya, where he alludes to this, and he's quoting from a Medrash, which I'm not sure if we have the Medrash or not, but that the world is supposed to be a third settled, a third desert, and a third rivers and waters. Now, so he goes on to say, you know, now, Orchaim is living after the discovery of America, right? He knows that the oceans are very big, but he doesn't pick on that. Rather, he picks on the other issue. He says, well, wait a second. If you take all the settlements of the world, you're not going to get to a third of the world being settled. If growing up on the East Coast, you might think that a third of the world is being settled, but having lived for a few years towards the West Coast, it becomes very clear that a third of the world is not settled. So he makes the case of a Tim Sahin Hayom Kama Makomus Shal Yishuv, and nowadays we find many cities, right? Shim Tismoch Osam Achas Al Achas, that if you put them all together, Lo Yafil Chelak Mimei, it's not even 1/100th of the world, the Shlish Yishuv Haniskar, right? 1/100th of the third that is supposed to be that we're talking about. V'yah Kol Midbar Elo liyo sha'ayros v'hakrachim bein ir li'ir, chelek charav uvnei olam ovrin v'shavim mizu lezu, b'zei yeshav hakol bein ayros bein mashem b'neim, yishu v'vitzir v'hakol timsa shlish yishuv. It must be that you include the roads. Now, the roads aren't very big, but okay, whatever it is. He figures out, he claims that if you put all of the settled area, including places between the settled areas, so you'll get to a third. All right, anyways. So this is what it means when it says the whole world was one language. That the idea was that they were all going to live together and they weren't going to spread out. And that's what it means, there's one city for everybody. And because of a concern that people are going to spread too far out of the city, right? Urban sprawl. They built this migdal in the middle so that everybody would see the migdal and be able to stay close to it. And that's how they came to the sign of the migdal. Fine, that they wouldn't spread out too far. And this is what Hashem said, that I don't think this is a good idea. However, right, Hashem had made them creatures of free will, right? So he couldn't just, I don't know, pick them up and move them. Right, and that's why he messed up their speech, so that they will be spread out and everybody would need their own place. This was the idea that Hashem had in mind that they would fill the entire world. And that's why he made a third of the world conquered for the idea that in order to know the name of Hashem. He goes on to say that there might be perhaps some further Kabbalistic ideas, but we're not going to talk about that. Right? But this is the basic, this is the pshat in the pasuk, and the truth is, it's a good point. I mean, you read through the pasukim, no indication of avodah zarah, right? It fits in very nicely to the reading of the pasukim. You don't really have to add very much. That there was a fear of everybody being combined, and Hashem had in mind that the entire, and Hashem comes down, sees this is not a good idea, and he wants everybody to be spread out. Why does he want everything to be spread out? So that is a further question. The Ramban in Perek Aleph, we did the Ramban over here, but the Ramban in Perek Aleph, when it discusses the Hashem creating man, so Hashem makes the point that he wants him to be spread out. That was the bracha. In Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Ches, it says, Vayvarach Osam Elokim, Vayomer Lahem, Elohim, right? Puravu Umelu Kol Aretz, Esach Aretz V'chivshu. I want you to fill the entire land, and I want you to conquer it. And you're going to go to the oceans, and you go into the heavens, and all of the animals that are roaming the land, I want you to have jurisdiction over them. So the Ramban over there makes a point that v'lo'yu b'malkum echad k'machshava anshe dor haflaga. And I don't want you to only be in one place like the dor haflaga. I want you to be spread out. Now, I wanted to see further if anybody discusses, okay, what exactly is the reason behind that? I'm sure there is a discussion of that, but, you know, sheer time was coming, so didn't come to anyone making an explicit statement on that. I mean, Hashem wants it. I mean, that seems to be agreed upon. Hashem wants everybody to be spread out. Why it is that that is specifically part of our mission, our purpose, is unclear. We could, I could suggest suggestions that that's kind of what we're supposed to be doing in this course of the world. That the world was created as a test of can we bring Kedusha to the entire world. So part of that would mean that we're going to do that. We're going to bring Kedusha to the entire world. Now the Kli Yakar. And by the way, it doesn't mean that everybody was going to be in Migdal Bavel and that was it. So nobody alludes to that. Nobody yet. The Or HaChaim, the Ramban, they seem to be saying that, well, everybody was going to be there and that was it. That seems to be what the Psukim are saying, that everybody was going to be there and that was going to be it. But is that completely true? So the Kli Yakar seems to go a little bit more and alludes to perhaps that maybe not everybody was present. So with that, we turn to the bottom of the page where the Kli Yakar is there. The Kli Yakar is of Ephraim Milunchitz. Ephraim Milunchitz, he died in 1619. He was the Rav of Prague. We talked about the Nodeb Yehuda yesterday, so one of his predecessors by about 150 years or so, give or take, no, less than 100, 100 years or so, was the Kli Yakar, Ephraim of Milunchitz. He died in 1619. I just looked around today for a little bit of biographical information. He wrote several svarim. He wrote, interestingly, I don't know if we still have this, but he wrote a kina to be said on the second day of Adar. What's wrong with the second day of Adar? So apparently there was a major pogrom that took place in the city of Prague on the second day of Adar. And we have these things that there are various instances over the years that different communities have their own Yom Tovim. So the second of Adar apparently was something happened in Prague, which I don't know if they celebrated it later on or recognized it later on. That was, by the way, Yom HaShoah. If you look at the history of Yom HaShoah before it became that we have that there is a day called Yom HaShoah, so different communities would have their own days of recognition. Especially there would be survivors that would find their way into Eretz Yisrael. So before there was Yom HaShoah, I think it was 1951, 52, something like that. So for the first couple of years, even before the creation of the state, so in the day that community was destroyed, either was conquered, or everybody was, there was a pogrom, they were killed, everybody was taken away. So that day was recognized, and the survivors would get together and have like a memorial ceremony. It's not like for us, we look at them as something that happened with grandparents, great parents. For them, it was personal and their parents, right? So, so the Kli Yakar says as follows. He says, "Well, nirin hadvarim shekol maisi haflaga hu al derech she'amru chazal kinos l'rishayim ra lehem v'ra le'olam." Right, that as opposed to the Or HaChaim and others that we saw, I think the Sforno, Sforno was in the Avodah Zarah, I think. Well, Sforno already was starting to allude to this, that Orva was going to be in charge of this place, was going to be in charge of the whole world. So he doesn't necessarily point to the problem of not conquering the whole world. He points to the problem of everybody gathering in one place. It's a little different, right? The Gemara comments, "Kinos l'Rishayim ra lehem v'ra li'olam." That when everybody gets together, it's bad for them and it's bad for the world. "Pizu l'Rishayim tov lehem v'tov li'olam v'tzadikim hakol behefach paseh." Right? That Rishayim getting together is bad, and tzadikim is the opposite. L'fisha Rishayim, why? Aydei kinusam yachshvu b'neim etzos ros alacherim. By getting together, they all share their bad ideas. Right? Nosav alzeh yimshachu b'neim divir ribus u'machlokas v'sinos. Right? Adding on to this is that they have all the arguments and hatred. V'zos tor hakanos hametsuyus bein hakisos asher kol maaseim lo l'shem shemayim ki im kidei lasos lahem shem ba'aretz. That this gathering together put together all their actions, not for the purposes of Shem Shemai, but rather to make their own Shem Ba'aretz, make their own name in the land. And the truth is, that's what the Kli Yakar, we'll get to again, but that's the punchline of the Kli Yakar. That actually sounds like not a bad idea of everybody getting together, except for that problem. When they said V'nasa Lanu Shem, that was the key word that was going to be a problem. We're going to make for ourselves a name. That's the problem. And he continues on over the course of this first paragraph, talking about how when all these bad people get together, it can lead to they share information, they all become hardened in their own ways. And you see that today, right? In Israel, when they capture these terrorists, these people throwing stones and things like that, and we're going to put them in jail. Well, putting them in jail then leads to bigger problems, because then they're with their own type and they reinforce each other's bad behavior. And it leads to further problems when they are taken out of jail. Not that, in addition to the fact that Israel is one of the most liberal countries and treats the prisoners pretty well and lets them all have communications with the outside and all that kind of stuff. So that is a problem. He adds in at the end there of the first paragraph, he says, "Val tzaddikim kinusam tov ki tachlis ma'achtam." Right, tzaddikim getting together is a good thing, right? It leads to unification. "Kein lehem kim tachlis echad," because they only have one goal. "V'yul achidim al yadam," and they get together for that goal. "Shenemar shalom rav lo aveser es echad," right? There'll be much peace for those that love the Torah. "Aval lo le'ovim batachlis achitzon be'etzem v'rishon." But But for those that love Hashem, they don't have that outside purpose in getting together, that of goal and power, right? And
we saw this past weekend. So the implication is that if there's only good people, even in a large mass of people.
The Kli Yachar seems to be right. If one would take the Kli Yachar,
it's better.
If one would take the Kli Yachar to the extreme, he would say that everybody getting together would not be a bad thing. Meaning, as opposed to the Or HaChaim saying that it was that itself was bad. That everybody was together. Hashem just had to break them apart, right? The Kli Yachar seems to be saying, no, that's okay if they would all be righteous, but they weren't so righteous, right? But then Zedam Haflag, as he continues to explain, Kimid Chilas Hayukulam. This is the reason for them spreading out. Kimid Chila Hayukulam. There's all this peace, and they all spoke the same language. And then they're afraid that if they would get spread out, they would be spread out, and their football team might not be the best ever anymore, right? And they wouldn't be living in one place. And they would come to war. That's wars are fought between people of different countries, generally. Therefore they said, right now we're one nation, we're one tongue. And therefore, because we're all together, now we're going to build this Migdal and make this name for ourselves. Because the way that people are is that everybody wants to and has a desire to live in the big city where many people, where everyone else lives. And therefore, there will only be one nation, and nobody will have arguments against their brother. And now the Kli Yachar says, if they wouldn't have this motivation of Venasalanu Shem, those following along have to skip two pages. The Kli Yachar appears on page, continuation appears on Reish Aleph, the bottom two lines. Right? He tivu es asher dvaro. Right? It was good what they said. And this would actually lead to a peaceful resolution, having this tower. But they said that we'll make ourselves a name. Gilu, it became clear. Right, that what was really inside of their hearts was that their name would go throughout the entire world, and they would be known as the greatest people. Right. So, what does that imply? It implies that there were other people, right? Seems like there were some. There was a Washington Generals team out there someplace that they're constantly beating up on. Via gully lifnei Hashem yisparach and became clear in front of Hashem. Shayidei sheheim mevakshim liknu shem ba'olam yavo el hefach asher chashu, that because they were seeking. They were trying to put their name in the entire world. Right, the opposite would come about, that they really all had in mind self-aggrandization, and if one, and then you take that, I think what the Kli Yachar then is driving at is, and if you say as a group, oh, we're going to be the best, well, what's ultimately going to happen to that group? Within that group as well, there's going to become infighting, and there's going to be a desire that one person be the best, or one group become the best, and that's going to lead to further trouble. I mean, what's really, the Kli Yachar, I think, is driving, what really is driving this entire process is the idea of arrogance. So people, at first, we're going to be the best. So how does one be the best? Well, first you have to build up everybody else around you to be the best, and then you have to figure out a way to be the best on top of that, and that's ultimately going to lead to some amount of strife and civil war. So
sounds
I think
like an imperialistic argument.
Okay. An anti-imperialistic argument. Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Okay. This was, he was living, the Kli Yachar was living in imperialistic age. He was living 1619.
There you go.
He died in 1619. So.
1500s.
Where did he live?
He lived in Prague. He was the Rav of Prague, although he lived in a few places before that.
That was called Bohemia.
Yes. They weren't exactly setting out explorers to explore the world.
What was going on in Western Europe?
That was taking over the whole Roman Empire.
Okay. It could be. Could be. All right. So that is the Kliyakris. I think when the dust settles, so I think we saw over today as well as last Friday, I think we saw five or six pshatim over what's going on here. Right, Rashi is a Avodah Zarah issue. Sfarno is an Avodah Zarah slash imperialistic issue. Right, the one who runs the Avodah Zarah is in charge of the Avodah Zarah, also runs the entire world. We saw the Ramban and the Netziv. The Ramban maybe was alluding to the idea that the Netziv had, that the problem was they were all trying to be the same, and they were trying, which is a defeat of the individual for the sake of the whole, which is a problem. We need both. We need to recognize the importance of everybody, but also the importance of the individual. You have the Ora Chaim, which was that they were denying their need to spread throughout the entire world. And then finally, we have this Kliyakar, that it was going to be a big power struggle. It wasn't going to work. They all were trying to become the best, and that was going to lead to destruction anyways. So Hashem said, let's just spread them all out so that at least they'll be amongst their own countries and work it out amongst themselves. Okay, we'll stop here. Yeshikach.
Still family.